Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveals, that show that brings you pop culture news on a weekly basis. Geeky, weekly, you get it, it's Geekly. As always, it's your host Dom, aka Brother Dom, all over the internet. And once again, I am joined by a team of great co-hosts. They always do great stuff. They're good friends, they're good podcasters, they were born to podcast. Would either of you like to speak up and tell the people who you are?
I'll hop in. I'm Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Snow Queer on Tumblr, Hello Steph on Instagram, and we are joined yet again by a comrade, a friend.
That's true. I've spun right back into this same rotating chair. I'm Eric, I'm Tindy Losey on Twitter, and that is the only place you'll be able to find me at the moment. And I'm here to continue to be your third special guest host.
Awesome.
And JRPG consultant and yes. Vocaloid and consultant.
Vocaloid consultant and your dungeon master, and you know, I fill life many roles.
Good. I love a good cinnamon roll, speaking of roles. Ooh. But hey, you want to hear some good news? I saw a great ad today on Twitter just now before we start recording.
Oh.
It was a promoted tweet. It's from Heinz Ketchup _US, the official Heinz Ketchup brand. And the tweet reads, "Booyah, Team Ketchup wins, and Mayo, they're still playing ketchup. Let's go Condimental. Hashtag Team Ketchup. Hashtag Team Heinz Ketchup." Because there was a Splatfest this weekend.
I can't believe that they responded to a Splatfest.
Yeah, that's some brand engagement there. Yeah,
that's wild. Which,
it's even more weird because they didn't respond to the last time this happened.
Say, and did they, like, tag Nintendo or Splatoon or anything?
There's a picture of a flag being held up and it kind of has like the Splatoon type eyes on it.
I was going to say, like, are they acknowledging Splatoon or are they just seeing all the hashtag Team Ketchup wins? Like, no, that, hashtags.
They're acknowledging Splatoon, but like in a we didn't pay for this kind of way, so we're not going to save Splatoon. However, these little eyes are clearly like, this is a Splatoon thing. Like, the art is reminiscent of it. But I think they did respond to, like, a Nintendo tweet at some point.
Well, that's better than that mustard advertisement where it's just, like, mustard squirted all over a hot dog. And it's like, how do you like your mustard? It's like, well, not like that, you fucking monster.
Not like that, you animal. That fucking Trojan ad I got yesterday that was like,
you need to fuck, go one. Make some bread.
Bored in quarantine? A sourdough starter takes 4 to 8 days, so that's plenty of time to fuck while you wait.
Because I guess it's like the time for their like special condoms to ship, or something.
Like, I don't know. I think they think that's like I have not. They put out a sourdough starter. Yeah, they have a cookbook. It's called,
they have a cookbook, and they missed the mark by not calling it the cockbook.
They do have a bread called Pumpernickel, though. They have puns, so they didn't skip out on it. I think it's just harder to sell a cockbook than a cookbook. I think that's probably true.
That's probably true.
A little challenging in your advertising. I mean,
they're not selling it. It's free.
Is it like a PDF download?
I think so.
Probably. I don't think they're going to... They don't want to like spin that up keeping printing books to send out. Like, we make condoms. We don't make paper. I'm very impressed with the level of technology. I guess in air quotes, but also not, because technology can be anything. The amount of stuff that's, like, the different kind of condoms you can buy. It's just, like, a whole cornucopia of different types. Which is, you know, just... There's so many varieties. It's like, yo, we already made a pretty perfect product already. Like, this already does its job. Like yeah, but what if...
99.9% of the time.
Yes. I mean, that's all they can promise.
No, yeah.
As an engineer, anytime I see something that says, like, a weight load of 5,000 or something has, like, 99.9%, like, bacteria killed or... pregnancies protected, I'm like, I'm sure it's like regularly 100, but if they like it's as close to 100 as you can be with like and still legally get off the hook.
Well, and they also have to, you know, account for people using it incorrectly.
I think that's accounted for. I think like with proper usage it has the 99.9%.
okay. I haven't had reason to go reading condom labels a whole lot recently. So I don't know what they say anymore.
Hey, how many people have a reason to read condom labels?
Like, I guess if you're bored in the bathroom and need something to read.
Yeah, like, it's like the next level equivalent of reading like
the back of a shampoo bottle.
Exactly.
It's like, you know what? I want to feel bored and alone. This isn't cutting it.
Oh, when did this expire? Oh, 3 years ago. Weird.
What a coincidence.
It's kind of like food. I think we have some lemon juice or something that's like quote-unquote expired, but, like, I don't like that we don't have the standard between. Some things are used by and some things are best by. And yeah. It's like, that's a precarious bridge.
Some things are Staples. Some things are Home Depot.
Oh my god.
You know what? That's enough of that. Let's get into the pop culture stuff.
Yeah, so...
I want to talk more about brands, please.
Well, I guess we could... Yeah, let's talk about a brand. So Netflix is a weird brand. All right, we kind of talked about this yesterday with Nintendo making really weird decisions. Kind of wish we had recorded that, but it wasn't new. It was just dunking on Nintendo for fun. But Netflix makes weird decisions that are anti-consumer, but they also do things that are semi-pro-consumer. My biggest gripe recently has been you can't access the Netflix catalog depending on what country you're in for, like, sometimes arbitrary reasons. So, for instance, if I want to watch Rick and Morty on Netflix, I can't do that in the United States. I either need a VPN or just have to bite the bullet and get Hulu, which we have, or use a cable subscription to get the online website. That's one thing. They aren't allowed to. But for anime that's premiering in Japan, they don't do simulcast, even though they have the right to do it. They're like, well, Americans like to binge stuff, so when the season's over, we'll send it to America. I'm like, I don't know if we like to, if that's just the way we have to watch things, because it's not like we're waiting for a dub. This is not about the subs versus dubs debate, but if you prefer dubs or just want to watch it again dubbed over subbed, that's one thing to wait. It's another thing to wait and say, hey, Netflix, you own this anime. Can I just watch
it?
You produced
this.
No.
Let me see it.
it's just not there. And it just comes like 8 months later or something, like that anime I was talking about to you all, that furry one, Brand New Animal.
Mm-hmm.
The 12 episodes are coming like in July. Like, they exist on Netflix Japan already. I'm like, cool, thanks Netflix for not letting me use your thing. So, buried the lead a little bit, as is our old tradition to do. They cancel a lot of shows, like One Day at a Time, and they canceled Tuca and Birdie, which I don't know if it was like in the BoJack Horseman universe or similar art style or similar, not story but premise, like talking animals that are vaguely human-esque. A lot of people liked it.
Like, I never watched it, but I know a lot of people were really into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't really... It's hard to know how much they promote something on Netflix since it's all so tailored. And people are like, well, I never saw this. It's like, well, have you watched any cartoons on their service? No. It's like, well, then they're going to think you don't care about it because their algorithms are weird.
Yeah, it's wild. The title card thing is so crazy to me. Like, Evan, friend of the show, had pointed out this out on Facebook. And, like, looking back, like, it's definitely done this for me, too. But, like, they have multiple title cards for all of their shows. And... Yep. Like, and will tailor the title card that they show you based on what your other interests are.
Yeah, it's very pervasive. Yeah, for instance, if it's kind of like that Twitter thing. If they determine that, let's say, you're black or a queer person, and there's a character like that in a show, it'll have that person in the title card or a screenshot from their episode rather than, like, let's say, the main cast or the splash art.
Huh.
Like, for Evan, like, The Witcher... was just like a melancholy picture of, like, Jaskier, or however you say his name. Like, I was like, so they were just like, wow, you watch a lot of stuff with sad twinks in it. Like, here's another sad twink show. Like,
they're very good at it.
And I'm realizing, actually, looking back, that, like, I got really mad once where there was, like, and like, part of it is my own fault for continuing to put myself through watching Voltron, but, like, they did the title card for Voltron after they were like, oh, we have revealed that Shiro is gay. We will never mention it again until the very last shot of the very last season. But, like, the title card was Shiro with, like, a rainbow background. And I was like, you don't know how mad I am about this, actually, do you?
It's very pervasive. I saw stuff for it because I had watched BoJack when it first came out, and I watched cartoons, and many services think I'm a woman because of my taste, which is pretty nifty, I guess. The algorithms are strange, but...
It's nice to know you can confuse them.
You can easily confuse them as long as you're not, like, apparently a very cookie-cutter version of whatever you're supposed to be. You can make algorithms think anything about you that they want. I think it's confused because I watch, like, edgy comedians to see if I like their stuff and not necessarily do. But I'm also willing to give, like, female comedians a chance because I'm not a sexist. But also I'm like, hey, let me watch, like, some old episodes of Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. So, like, who are you? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like,
man, I don't know.
I'm here for a party and lots of episodes of Criminal Minds. But so nobody really watched Tuca and Birdie, or maybe people did. Netflix doesn't release their numbers, but they didn't see it viable to renew for another season, which was sort of a tragedy. It was like a female-led show that talked about like more, I guess, like female-centered problems rather than like I'm a sad man, please care about my man pain. Like that wasn't the point of the show. So people aren't sure if Netflix just didn't advertise it enough or put enough budget behind it, or if maybe it just didn't have the interest. But apparently it had enough interest that petitions sprung up and Adult Swim's like, yo, we'll produce season two, we don't care. Like if it's awesome, it's awesome. If it flops, we really don't care. Like, we're swimming in Rick and Morty money, we can do whatever we want right now.
Everyone on the planet is like buying Pickle Rick thing. Shit like
I said
everyone on the planet is buying that Pickle Rick One Piece.
I saw that down in Key West once, and it shattered so much about me, because I want to be like, the only people who think Pickle Rick is funny is like weird incel dudes, and apparently many women, because this was a One Piece bathing suit that a woman was wearing. I'm like, hey, you know, more power to you.
It's good to know that we, like, feminism has won in that we acknowledge that everyone can have bad taste.
Yeah, I don't know, but they didn't even, like, it wasn't even hacky, it wasn't, like, the eyes or the boobs, it was just like, no, this is just Pickle Rick, like, and then we cut it out into a swimsuit. Yay, commercialism. At least the show makes fun of that, though. They're in a weird position where, while we're making a ton of money, we can follow all of our dreams, but, like, our show is being very commercialized, so, like, that wasn't the idea, but we're happy, but we're sad.
It's like, we'll take your money, you idiots.
Yeah. But yeah, so Tuca and Birdie is going to get a second season on Adult Swim because they love to bring things back. They brought Toonami back, which was their property that they had canceled, but they're willing to listen. They bring lots of anime to the West. I think they're partially responsible for anime being so popular in the West.
I think so. That's where I watched like Cowboy Bebop and Inuyasha and Trigun the first time.
Yeah, I would definitely say that they had like a big influence on especially people our age.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of like at that perfect time where Toonami, like, it would first air, like, right after school would let out.
Yeah. So, like,
a lot of kids would, you know, end up being exposed to anime in that way.
Mm-hmm. And then if you stayed up late, you could catch the new episode of Inuyasha on Saturday nights.
Exactly.
Or Fooly Cooly and wonder what the fuck is going on.
I just remember...
You would eventually watch the whole thing and realize that no one knows.
I just remember watching a lot of Gundam Wing and G Gundam, and the episodes were always out of order, and that always frustrated me.
I remember seeing mecha anime, and you guys know my taste, and that stuff's like a little bit boring to me, like sometimes. But imagine like a 10-year-old being like, "Yo, giant robot, that looks dope," and then they used to see people like talking in space stations for a while, like, "What the fuck is like? When are the robots gonna punch each other?"
You should give it a try with G Gundam then, because it's less about the space station talking and more about giant robots punching each other, because it's literally a giant robot fighting tournament.
That's awesome. I was also like 10 or whatever, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Dragon Ball Z never had like all the episodes, so it'd get to like a certain point like in like the Buu saga and then just start again from Raditz.
Yeah, and then like they would get a new episode and they would jump ahead, but they would like play a few episodes from before first. Like that especially happened during the Cell games, where it'd be like, I feel like I saw this part about the androids. Yeah, this already happened. Well, here's Cell again, and now they're fighting, and now, you know, like Vegeta's gonna blast him in the back of the head. You're like, okay, thanks for presenting this to me in a very odd way.
I can safely say that Sailor Moon, I enjoyed Sailor Moon before Dragon Ball Z, and those were the first anime I saw that had like a similar like stereotypical anime style. So I'm like, oh, this is like a weird episode of Sailor Moon. They're like, I don't think that's what I'm watching. Like my cable info is wrong. Like what the hell is this? And it was like the episode where Raditz takes Gohan. So like, why do you watch Shonen to see people fuck each other up? There was none of that. So I'm like, they're just complaining about some child, like, why do I want to watch this?
These people are just very bad babysitters.
That's the plot of Dragon Ball Z. Man. Piccolo, the only good babysitter.
I'm going to say the only good dad in the show.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to hit you that well, actually. I think Goku's the only bad dad in the show.
Yeah, I think even Vegeta is a good dad compared to Goku.
Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, I am the fakest geek girl in DBZ things. I have watched one episode of Dragon Ball, not even Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball's good, though.
I wouldn't call you fake for that. Nobody thinks about that.
I have the first three seasons in a box set because one of my friends bought them when we were in high school from Walmart for like $20 a piece. And we watched, like I said, the first like maybe two episodes once. And then she was moving and she was like, hey, do you want these? And I was like, sure, yeah. And so now I have them here in New York.
You should
along with all the books
them.
That I've never read.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good stuff. It's funny to think about the way we memeify things. Like, we always make the joke that Krillin is useless and, like, is terrible. I think partially because DBZ Abridged did it. But, like, pound for pound, he's the strongest human in the universe. Like, it's just that there's aliens running around who are far better.
Don't sleep on Yamcha.
I mean, I'm not sleeping on Yamcha, though. Like, Krillin could whoop Yamcha's ass, I think. Like,
oh, for sure. But Yamcha was the smartest of the strong humans because he realized that I might be really strong, but you know what I could do? I could make a fuck ton of money if I just went and played professional baseball, and I could outclass all these motherfuckers because I'm a strong human.
Yeah, that's like some cheap shit. Like, wait a minute, dog. It's like, wait, weren't you that dude on TV on the Cell games? Like, didn't you fight an alien? Nah, dog, that wasn't me.
Nah, I'm here to play baseball.
I just remember being, like, really, like, shocked in, like, the episode we watched because someone was like, holy crap, his power level, it's like 700. That's the highest I've ever seen. And I was like, well, shit. Things are going to really escalate between now and when he breaks that power.
I think that, is that when they stop using Scouters completely? Or is it, like, it's on Namek, I think, when Fiji did, like, I don't need that because I'm a Super Saiyan. Like, why do you think that? I just do. I'm a Super Saiyan now.
Yeah, no, they for sure, like, at a certain point during the Namek saga, they're like, oh, power levels are completely meaningless at this point, and we're just going to say that we sense a very high power level nearby, and that's going to be how we know that somebody strong is around.
Yeah, he just got blown out because, like, Goku could, like, he had the Kaioken, which was 10 times as a base multiplier, but, like, Kaioken times 2 is base 10 times 2 times your power level, and then I think Super Saiyan was supposed to be 50 times. Like, okay, these numbers are getting so high.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
You should have seen the original Dragon Ball Z card game. Like, there was a trading card game, and it would list, like, the character's power levels over on the right side of the character cards. And, like, early on in the series, you know, like, they had the Saiyan Saga set, and it'd be like, oh, the highest power level's 10,000. That's crazy. And then you get, like, the Buu Saga, where it's like, here's this Goku card that's got a 2 million power level.
Like, what does that effectively mean? Like,
right, it meant nothing.
Yeah, like, at that point, that's just fake. Like,
yeah, so it's, you know, it's all just BS, so.
It's like, he's a strong boy.
Yeah, that's about it. It's I always get mad about the fights between, like, Goku and Superman. Because people, like, any universe where Superman wins just, like, makes him seem more, like, nonsense to me. Like, he just seems invincible.
Yeah.
And I don't have that with One Punch Man, because he's kind of, like, comedic. And I'm like, no, yeah, One Punch Man, he beats everybody. He can beat Thanos, he can beat Superman, he can beat Batman. Because that's the internal logic of that show, you know? But, like, they're like, well, Goku can't beat Superman. I'm like, okay, then that calls everything else into question about, like, every villain Superman has, including Batman using kryptonite. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, Goku can destroy a planet, like, Superman can too, but it's just, like, they're both so overpowered, but, like, Goku's whole point is that he's overpowered. Superman's like, no, he's just stronger than everybody. It's not like he's overpowered or anything. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, is that cool. It is?
That whole argument just reminds me of, like, this is probably, like, more than a decade ago at this point. There was on Game FAQs, that shows the age right there. There was they would do those yearly, like, game protagonist, like, who would win in a fight things. And, like, I remember the biggest one they ever did, it came down to the final two were Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy VII versus Link. And they said that Link would win in a fight. Because he has the golden gauntlets and he would just pick up a giant pillar and drop it on Cloud. And Cloud wouldn't be able to do anything about that. Yeah. And that is very hard to argue against if your entire move is, I have a big rock.
Yeah, but if you take the logic of, like, Cloud's universe.
Exactly.
So first off, like, he can lift up his own sword. Second off, I'm pretty sure Sephiroth dropped planets on him
Yeah,
like,
no,
and like, super move.
and like, this was also, I think, probably like either like just before or maybe around the time that Advent Children came out. And like, if you look at Cloud in like that, like, Cloud is basically like just doing superhuman shit, like just doing all sorts of acrobatics. Like, yeah, Link might be able to throw a boulder.
He jumps on air a bunch of times.
Yeah, like, Link might be able to throw a boulder, but he can move out of the way.
Also, that, like, if he puts a boulder on him, he can't move. Okay, cool, that's true. But like, what? How's that gonna happen?
Yeah,
like, Link's dope and resourceful, but I don't think he's like beating Cloud. Like, if they're both at like their full power,
he's just like a charming boy doing an adventure. Like, Cloud's a soldier.
Yeah, I guess ex-soldier. Excuse you.
Excuse me, an ex-soldier.
And now, if you want to take the discussion, can Link beat Sephiroth? Like, well, Link can beat demons with the Master Sword, and Sephiroth has evilness to him, so maybe he could, but I don't think he could necessarily beat Cloud.
Yeah.
And then again, we're taking the whole thing of like, well, Sora can beat everybody, so like, how, you know, does any of this make any sense?
No.
I don't remember. So, listeners, if you've noticed, we don't really have a ton to talk about today. So we're just letting it flow a little bit. There are some other things, but
what about this is different than our usual flow?
That's true.
Then we're not putting stuff off. There's a few things, but yeah. None of them are going to fill up an episode.
I'm not trying to come up with clever transitions for you because I have no other topics to talk about.
Steph, do you have any specific topics? I mean, I'm looking at the list and I just can't remember.
I didn't have anything exciting that like I had to bring to the table. I just had like I can comment on the things that you brought to the table. Like, for example, the Snyder Cut.
Yeah. Let's,
speaking of bringing things back, there's the segue.
Hey, good job.
You know what? Let's save that for the end, because that's going to be...
Never mind, bad job.
No. That's a good transition. But my point is, I think that'll be the most discussable thing we have. And I don't want to, like, talk for an hour and a half on that and then have to go like, okay, here's, like, five things real fast. So let's do that now. There's a movie, Tenet, coming out from Christopher Nolan. Have you seen the trailer?
I have not. What is it about? Tell me.
I don't know. I watched the trailer.
Is it like in a good way or a bad way?
Neither. It's just I literally don't actually know.
I feel like that's a bad way though. Then.
I think it's trying to do the mysterious thing that Inception did, but we kind of knew Inception's not its thesis, but its premise. So Inception, you go in the dreams and you can manipulate the dream world. We don't know why they're going to do that. We don't know to what end they're going to do that, but we do see that someone folds a city on top of itself. That's an interesting spectacle enough to be like, okay, let's. I get dreams. I like Leonardo DiCaprio and Ellen Page. Let's go see this movie. But Tenet is about Denzel Washington's son in real life, the actor. I don't know what this guy's name is. I can't remember. And Mr. Washington and Robert Pattinson are in this movie. And he's on the redemption course. Like, he has been redeemed as a good actor already, so that's pretty cool to know that people like Robert Pattinson again, except for Batman nerds. We'll get to it. But apparently, Denzel Washington's son has died and went to the afterlife to some degree, and now has the power to reverse time of objects. Like, not reverse time, but like if a car flips over, he can reverse that so that it like rights itself. And he's not pulling bullets, he's reversing a gunshot. Again, I don't know to what end this is, and the reason the movie's called Tenet probably is because that's a palindrome, and they're trying to do something funky with that. Palindrome, where it spells the same forwards and backwards.
I know, based on the story in my first grade lit book called Hannah is a Palindrome, in which a girl named Hannah gets in a fight with a boy named Otto, because he's teasing her about her name being a palindrome, and then she's like, wait, bitch, your name is also a palindrome.
Do they both hop in a race car?
I was going to say, I know from the They Might Be Giants song called I, Palindrome I, but, you know.
Good old Palindrome Man. They never talk about Palindrome Man. He hates Particle Man. But yeah, I don't know, the movie, like, looks like that kind of interesting enough, but, like, the interesting, like, let me see another trailer or hear some reviews. Like, it's not like I'm sold yet, whereas...
Some
I
of his other the name. Movies, Inception. Feel.
Yeah, Inception, I was like, I get it. Dark Knight, I get it. 1917? Did he do? No. He did a war movie. Who did? What did? Dunkirk. It's like, okay, I get it. Like, I see why I want to go see this. This movie, like, I don't get it. Like, why would I go see this? Just trusting Chris Nolan? Like, okay, you made The Dark Knight Rises. Like, but you also made The Dark Knight. But yeah, okay, so that's a trailer that's out. It looks interesting.
It might also have to do with, like, I mean, like, a tenet is, like, a rule of something, so maybe there are, like, specific rules to how the world works, and that's how, and he's going to break them or something, like...
Maybe. Some guy says, you're gonna need a tenet. Like, that's a word that's gonna open some doors for you that you want and some that you don't want. Like, that doesn't help. Like, that just makes it seem mysterious for mysterious sake. Is he actually dead, or was it afterlife a metaphor, or what are we doing here? But,
It makes sound like you need to become a landlord. It's like, that's not the right tenant.
Yeah.
You need tenants. Well, I own 3 buildings now. That's not what I meant.
Yeah. So it's, who knows? And also, or maybe he does lord over people. I don't know. The trailer was vague. I don't get it. And they made a big deal about it coming to theaters. Like, that was like coming to theaters. Like, cool, man. Like,
so, like, what, in like
2 years?
Yeah. No, like in like a couple, like in 6 months or something. Which it's like, yeah, let's see about that.
There.
They're doing that because they know that they can beat the only other movie that released this year to get awards. And I'm speaking, of course, about Sonic the Hedgehog. So,
hey, and Bad Boys for Life, which is a weird title for your third movie. You should have saved it for the fourth one. But whatever.
Still so mad about that.
And that's the only movie that has outgrossed Sonic this year. But yeah, I don't know. I watched a video from Black Nerd Comedy, Andre the Black Nerd, and he was like, is this the movie that's going to get people back to theaters? Like, I want to go back to theaters, and there are movies that I would risk my safety to go see. I don't think this is that movie.
I don't think a random Christopher Nolan standalone is going to be that one.
Like, Black Widow might be it for some people. If they somehow got Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans back in another Avengers movie, that might be it for people. But, like, Chris Nolan, this ain't it, fam. Like... And it could be the Snyder Cut, which we'll get to. The other thing, there's a new game out from Amazon Games, which, like...
It's like their first game, isn't it?
I think so, yes. Not really a fan of Jeff Bezos, but I do have this weird feeling bad for the people that are employed by Amazon that are like, yo, we're just trying to, like, do stuff. Like, the company we work for is evil, but, like... Do y'all really have the high ground on us? Y'all work for companies like, yeah, I mean, your big
like,
boss
I work for
is
Rupert
the worst.
Murdoch, like.
Like, yeah, their big boss is the worst, but I don't, like, feel bad for people. Well, I feel bad for people that, like, work at Amazon Games. Like, we're just trying to have a fucking career, man. Like,
I just wanted to be a game dev, and this is the place that hired me.
And it's like, playing that game, is that really going to be... Is boycotting this game going to be the thing that boycotts Jeff Bezos? Like, they own Whole
Literally
Foods,
Literally only
too.
The guillotine will... Nothing can stop Jeff Bezos.
Nothing can stop the Beesbot at this point, so...
The Beesbot is out of control. The Beesbot owns the rights to Promare, which means I'm going to have to give the Beesbot more of my money.
How? Why?
I can't believe
They're
that.
They're streaming on Amazon Prime Video now.
Yep.
Netflix couldn't afford Promare. See, Netflix, they fucked us again. I do appreciate that Studio Trigger's like, we're not going to give all of our stuff to one studio because that's how monopolies happen, so we're going to give the love to everybody.
Including some of the worst monopolies that exist in the world currently.
Yes, but no one has a monopoly on them. I don't know. It's a weird thing to do. But they released this game called Crucible, which is another hero shooter, kind of in the style of a MOBA, multiplayer online battle arena. Think League of Legends, Dota 2, Heroes of the Storm.
Paragon.
This one's... Yeah, Paragon, actually, I heard. It has a very dedicated community, though. People like that game and still play it.
I've never even heard of it.
It came out around the same time as Overwatch and Battleborn, and while Battleborn just got completely, like, destroyed...
Right, I was thinking about Battleborn. I was thinking about that one.
Battleborn is gone. People still play Paragon. Like, no, guys, you should really play this game. Like, it's not Overwatch. It's really different. Like, it has a dedicated community, and I like that kind of stuff. But no, this game Crucible came out. It's a third-person shooter. So think, like... Uncharted.
Like Harry Potter, the late Harry Potter game?
Yes, the late Harry
yes,
Potter
Yes, actually, games. Exactly,
just
like,
exactly
that.
Like that.
Think Harry Potter, Gears of War, Uncharted, you know, the three third-person shooters everyone always talks about. But it has the elements of, like, you have to kill, like, non-playable character monsters to, like, level up your items and stuff like that, and you're all fighting over common objectives, like your team of three versus, or four versus their team of three or four, I can't remember. But just added to the list of games that have come out, list of hero shooters that have come out since Overwatch has come out, that have had a black woman in them from launch before Overwatch has had one. I just want to throw that out there. Good job to Crucible.
Also, Overwatch won't get one until potentially Overwatch 2 at this point.
No, it's not potential. That's a fact. There's no more heroes in Overwatch until Overwatch 2.
Oh, see, I meant potentially as in they might not do it in Overwatch 2 anyways.
They still can't. They have promised us... that Sojourn is going to be one of the heroes in Overwatch 2. And we're like, well, I mean, we've seen her, and she's in Overwatch. Like, she's one of the strike commanders before they disbanded, so, like, why can't we play as her? And, like, well, here's a robot who was built by, like, a woman in Thailand. And, like, oh, so another woman of color we could have had, but you gave us a robot instead, just like Ify and Orisa. That's cool. You're doing a great job, Blizzard. I don't understand. I digress. I haven't played this game much, but I've watched people play it. It looks all right. It's a good first go for Amazon Games. It needs tightened up, but it's whatever. It looks fine. The characters look alright. There's a guy named Earl. What more could you ask for? There's a cute little robot. A rocket raccoon looking dude. Or a raccoon. I don't know the gender of the raccoon. Yeah, that's all I gotta say about Crucible. Have either of you seen even ads for it? Because it kind of came out of nowhere.
I've seen ads because, like, they exist on Steam. But, like, I'm so, like, just not interested in that genre of game that is already so, like, oversaturated. Like, there's just so many of that type of game out there right now.
Yeah.
That I don't need it.
I think hero shooter's starting to finally hit the point that it's not a genre anymore. Like, how anime isn't really a genre, but there's a... When you say anime, an image comes to your mind, but it can be different genres, and I think hero shooter has finally hit that. Like, the difference between Crucible, Valorant, Overwatch, and Apex Legends, those are four wildly different games that have wildly different experiences, but their characters all kind of have a similar, not aesthetic, but, like, otherworldliness to them.
Yeah.
You know, like, superheroes, but with technology instead of what we think of superheroes as, so that's kind of cool. It's free to play, so, I mean, if you want to give it a shot, you can. It's free to download on Amazon. It's going to be free to swag, as many games are. And they're going to try to sell you on that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's what it is. Twitter reply change thing. Y'all have any thoughts?
Tell me more about this. Because, I saw you can, like, so you can turn off replies now, but I feel like that doesn't...
Only if you're a blue check mark.
Oh, good.
Yeah. As of now, yeah. Blue check marks, which is... It's weird that we've turned that into... What's the word that's... It's not a slur, but it's like a mean thing to say?
Like a mark... Like a derogatory
term.
Yeah, like a pejorative derogatory phrase. Like, Karen is pejorative, but it's not a slur, right? Why is blue checkmark a... it's just a status. Like, brands are blue checkmarks and people with enough followers. And people were like, fuck blue checkmarks. Like, don't you like PewDiePie? Like, I'm just saying, like, this isn't consistent behavior, but whatever. But
it's honestly, like, just kind of gives, I don't know, like, it scratches that itch that humans have for an us versus them. Like,
yeah, on a but platform. But it's only them when it's people they don't like, though.
For sure.
Which is why I'm like, guys, you're being fucking jerks about this. I don't know. It's the internet. Why am I surprised? But yeah, so they can limit... You can limit how people can reply to you. So you can have it that only that anyone can reply, only people you mentioned, or only people that follow you. So Twitter has done stuff like, from their official account post, reply with sites that are better than ours, and the replies are locked to only people that they mentioned in the tweet, which they didn't mention anybody. However, nothing is stopping us from quote retweeting that, which has become the new ratio of, well, you have this many retweets with comment versus this many retweets. So obviously, like, people had something to say whether they agreed with it or not. My advice was anybody who pulls some shit like that, just block them immediately. Just don't follow them anymore, because that's a shitty thing to do. And you can, I mean, obviously you can use it to spread disinformation about people. You can just say, like, Dom, Eric, and Stephanie are terrible people. And now we can't reply to defend. Yeah. They say we're terrible because, like, we don't watch anime. I'm like, that's not true. They're like, well, you would have said something if it's true. Like, no. I'm like, no, I'm a terrible person for other reasons that happens to watch anime.
Yeah. I'm terrible for the fan fiction I read, not for my anime watching.
I'm terrible because I ship specific characters that other people don't.
Exactly. I like Sonic.
I've been solely, wholly and absolutely cancelled.
Yeah. But so, it's... And I think it's going to eventually roll out to the masses. I understand the need for it for a safety reason, but I just wish they'd actually take safety seriously. Like, hey, like, to me, that there's part of the spirit of Twitter is that you can interact with anybody. And this is a controversial take, but I think a lot of people are willing to, like, ignore that now. Because, like, when Twitter started and it was a free-for-all, and people weren't using it to target harass people because... But the point is, a lot of Twitter, the reason we've been able to make so many contacts with people is because you can hop into someone else's mentions, be chill about it, like, not mansplain to them, not tell them their own joke to them, but it's like, hey, sick joke, bro. Hey, ma'am, I like that art. Hey, non-binary person. The thing you said is cool, and sometimes people will follow you back, like, that you would have never had a reason to talk to. I've made friends that way online, people that are either mutuals or people that I consider friends, which, if we were all just only replying to people that we followed already, it's like, well, why would you follow me? I'm just some rando off the internet. I don't know 800 people, but I have 800 followers. It's not a lot, but it's something, you know? And a lot of people spread that ways through being in different mentions or being retweeted. People are like, oh, I'll follow that person. They talk to me, I talk to them. And I think with this new feature, that's impossible. And I'd rather Twitter banned the Nazis and took harassment seriously.
Yeah, that was what I was gonna say. Why are we focusing on this rather than like getting rid of white supremacists and neo Nazis?
Like the thing that you already know how to do in other countries, but just avoid doing in America, literally because it would deactivate so many politicians.
Yep.
Yeah, we know the reason. Well, like, I mean, the reason is money, but.
And also, you know, there might be certain things about some of the management at Twitter that
Jack Dorsey's also.
I always wonder about some of these managers. I'm like, are you the kind of racist that agrees with these people, or are you the kind of racist that's just indifferent to what they're doing? Because so many times it seems like you don't seem like, it's like sometimes you just seem like a straight shitbag that's like, oh, it's not about liking black people or white people. I just think all people are below me because I'm rich. Like, okay, that's bad, but... And there's sometimes like, well, you seem like you prefer certain races over other races, so that seems racist. And there's times like, hey, we're not going to force our people to come back to work because, like, we don't want them to get sick. Like, they can just work from home. Like, why do that? Like, okay, that's still making them give you, like, make you money, but you're, like, taking the less shitty way about it. So, like, where are your ethics actually? Like, is it just about money? Are you a bigot? Do you not care? Do you really just not understand? Which would blow my mind, but I guess it's possible. I can't pin his ethics down, and so many of these other people.
Wait, I am absolutely losing my mind. Do you guys hear that? The, like, calm female robot voice, like, in the background as opposed to the sirens I usually get?
No.
Someone is driving up and down Eastern Parkway blasting a question and answer about the Constitution.
Okay.
What are the first 10, like what are the first 10 parts of the Constitution called? 10-second pause. The Bill of Rights. Like, what does the First Amendment guarantee? Like, what the hell?
That's very weird.
I'm very unsettled by this. Yeah,
people are very upset about being indoors, and I don't think they realize the Constitution doesn't define what they think it does.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, science teachers disagree with science, and that's the most depressing thing I've ever had to deal with, like...
Yeah.
But I digress.
I was gonna say, just kind of like a... kind of an addendum to the whole working from home stuff that, Jack Dorsey did. I don't know if you saw posts about this. This is a... you know, a kind of a contemporary of his, Facebook, has stated that while their employees are going to be allowed to continue to work from home, that they are going to be required to let Facebook know if they move to a different location, and their pay will be adjusted accordingly to more suit the...
cost of living in the new place?
Yes, which is... absolutely insane.
Which is why Mark Zuckerberg is really afraid of his company unionizing.
Yeah, that's really strange. Like, I can just see the corporate speak that is like, they can spin this as a plus. You know, the few times it is like, hey, you moved to somewhere more expensive, we'll compensate you for that. But I don't think it's that, because I'm sure the only places you can move from Facebook offices are just places with smaller cost of living.
Yes, I don't think there are many other places that are going to be more expensive than where they are currently located.
I'm going to say, like, they could try that with publishing, but they can't pay us less than they already do, honestly. Regardless, like, what I make in right now is not a living wage anywhere, let alone in New York City.
So, if they said, like, that to you, that would only be able to benefit you, actually.
Yeah, they're like, cool, I'm going to stay here, and now you have to pay me the cost of living in this city.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, there's obviously worse ways to handle this than Dorsey is. So it's like, please tell us your ethics, man, because I don't know what they are. But yeah, so it's just a weird, it's a weird reply change. I don't appreciate when brands do sketchy shit like, hey, let us know if there's a better brand than us. Haha, you can't. Like, cool, you're blocked. Like, thanks for the free anti-advertising. It's one more brand I can block, but I tend to just block brands often. Unless they make me laugh, like Heinz did. So. Look, the Pittsburgh brands will be the last ones I ban, because... Look, if we gotta live in this capitalist hellscape, I want like my
Scrooge
local
McDuck is the
to
last
be...
billionaire we take to the canteen.
I forever want to be able to see Arby's tweets because I like to see the art they do.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, if we get rid of Arby's, the interns and social media managers aren't going to go away. So, like, we could just, yeah, like, hey, could you just do something else? Like, we'll keep on paying you, but now it's like, you actually have insurance now. What else? I think that's everything. I've been playing Solaris this week, and I watched the movie Knives Out. It's awesome.
Very good, cool twists.
Lots of good stuff to say. Maybe we talk about it some other time. But yes, the Snyder Cut.
We talked about it a little bit when I saw it, like, around Thanksgiving, because I was saying how spicy it was. Like, obviously, like, Frozen 2 was not the hottest take on colonization, but, like, I thought it was very spicy that the two movies that were, like, the biggest over Thanksgiving weekend were Frozen 2, which is about, like, the white people of Arendelle stealing the, like, culture and wealth of the native people who live above Arendelle.
Yeah.
And then Knives Out having so many pointed things to say about race.
Yeah, it surprisingly did. Like, I didn't think that was going to be part of the movie other than, like, that I heard it was. But it was I think it was, like, a nice... You could use it as a nice companion piece to Get Out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either of you saw Get Out. But it's kind of poking a little bit of, like, the white liberal stuff. Like, oh, I would have voted for Obama a second time. There's, like, a semi-reoccurring joke in Knives Out that they wanted to invite the nurse character to an event, but everyone else voted them out. Like, I think more than one person says this. It's like, okay,
yeah,
like,
I
now it's starting to
be
seem...
there, but...
Now it's starting to seem suspect. Everybody who references her country of origin gets it wrong. She's of Latina descent. The actress is Cuban, but apparently the language they use is not, like, necessarily localized to anywhere. So she could be from anywhere for us to know. Mm-hmm. But they never bring it up because it's, you know, there's, like, some class dynamics there. Chris Evans is a great actor. Like, it didn't come off like, oh, Captain America's doing this thing. Like, oh, hell yeah, Chris Evans is doing a good job. Yeah, lots of good stuff to say about the movie. There was, like, little subtle things. There were not subtle things at all. But I'm just pissed off that people think Rian Johnson's a bad director because they didn't like Canto Bight. Like, this man can write his ass off. Like, there's so much little shit in Knives Out that's really good. Good symbology, good directing and framing. Like I said, some really heavy-handed, easy-to-catch stuff, some subtle things. Lovely
I think part
movie.
Of it is just, like, people were going to be mad about The Last Jedi no matter what, and also, like, working within an established franchise is different than writing your own awesome standalone.
Yeah, but I mean, like, people said J.J. Abrams was, like, they blamed Disney for the problems with his movies, and then
they
blamed Rian
Johnson
for
the problems,
with
his.
Just because he's, like, I guess I'm more, well, based on the two movies I've seen from him, he's much more woke than J.J. Abrams cares to be. sometimes his wokeness is just like, hey, what if this Asian character existed? And sometimes his wokeness is like, yo, let's make a whole family of white people be racist. Except the grandpa for some reason. oddly enough. But yeah, good movie. Fun stuff. Give it a watch. Also, I'm so bad at remembering names on the spot. But the guy who played L in the Netflix Death Note movie and also was like the guy who got kidnapped first in Get Out. Lakeith Stanfield. Also, I think he's in Sorry to Bother You. He was in that movie too, Daniel Craig. Very star studded. It must have been an expensive movie.
Oh my
Jamie
god.
Lee Curtis is in
what
there.
Do you think of
Daniel Craig's accent?
Daniel Craig's accent.
It was astounding because I've never seen Daniel Craig in a movie. Like, I know who he is, but I know that's not how he sounds, and it was weird to watch because I'm like, bro, you don't talk like that at all. Where did that accent come from? But he did it very well. There's a lot to enjoy about that movie. It's very good. Chris Evans plays a good villain. I'll admit that.
Yeah, it was
nice to see him be a dickhead.
He plays such a good asshole.
Nice. And
but
yes, Chris Evans, great asshole. Last thing I'll say about this.
Go ahead.
I do appreciate. Oh, that's a good segue. Save that one. Put a pin in that. I appreciate that this was a mystery that gave you all the facts and details that you needed and didn't like pull a twist later. Like, oh, how'd you not figure that out? I don't know, because you didn't tell me. Like, everything you need to figure out, the solution is in the movie. Like, bar one or two things that are like for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, since we were at home watching it, not in the theater, we chatted to each other a little bit. And we're like, oh, I bet you this is going to happen. I wonder if that was what it was. And you know, if you're talking through it and thinking it out loud, you can think of some of the stuff there, and everything they say makes sense. It's not like, yes, but secretly this person did X, Y, Z, not in the movie, and that's why we know, like, well, that's not fair. I couldn't have figured that out. Like, that's bullshit. So it was nice that the movie didn't, like, pull a surprise twist. Yeah. Rian Johnson, good guy.
Good guy, you know? But yeah, the segue that I had, it's like a triple entendre segue. Maybe not an entendre, but a segue, triple segue. Three people can ride on this segue.
That's a scary segue.
That's just a car.
It's just a big scooter. is movies that people had strong opinions about, movies that are part of a multi-million-dollar franchise with, like, certain rules for characters, and movies that J.J. Abrams directed at some point.
Okay. What did J.J. Abrams do for this?
Who was the one that Zack Snyder, like, picked to finish it?
Joss Whedon?
Oh, fuck. Just kidding.
Another self-important white dude. I was wrong on the internet.
But yeah, like, another self-important white guy who, like, people thought was good the first time he made a big team-up movie, and then we were like, oh, no, it's bad this time.
I mean, I was like, oh, you must know something I don't know. Yeah, I just assumed you were right. I wasn't going to call him. Like, wait, what did you do?
I appreciate that you assume I'm right.
Well, no one wants to be wrong on the internet. Actually, lots of people are fine being wrong on the internet. They do it consistently. So, yeah, the Snyder Cut got approved, I guess. They're going to produce it. Of the Justice League?
Yeah, Justice League.
Wasn't there a Snyder Cut of Batman vs. Superman that people wanted? Well, I guess they just gave up on that because that movie, like, upon retrospect, is so bad that it can't be fixed with a cut, but they think Justice League could be.
Well, yeah, I think part of it is the Batman vs. Superman, like, there's, like, a 4-hour cut of that, but it's, like, there wasn't another director coming in, like, maybe, like, the studio told him
right
that it needed to not be a 4-hour gray movie, but, like,
I mean, so that would just be a director's
cut. They were right.
They were right. Not to give too much credit to DC execs, but
it would be like Warner Brothers. It has. Yeah. Whose fault is this? Because their animated movies are fine. Like, their animated stuff is fine. Like, I don't know how their live action movies are so bad.
I mean, like, the only one that got any, like, decent critical reception was Wonder Woman, right? Like, and I guess
Wonder Woman did pretty well.
Was really bad.
People liked Aquaman.
I mean, it was fun.
But they didn't say it was good the same way that people who defended Suicide Squad tried to say it was good. People were like, I liked Aquaman, but it was bad. But it was a good time. Which is fine. That's totally fine. I like movies that aren't that great.
Yeah, there's a difference between, like, a movie that's enjoyable and a movie that's good.
Yeah, like, I fucking rock with The Room. The Room is awful, but I love it. But then, no, Shazam got decent ratings, too. And Harley Quinn is split, depending on, like, how much you value women as people. Some people still didn't think it was that great. But those tend to be people that watch a ton of movies, so, like, they probably don't like a ton of comic book movies anyhow. So, but yeah, I think Wonder Woman, Shazam, and Joker. Maybe Harley Quinn. Yeah, but that's not even a DC Universe movie. That's just a movie, right? Like, was that even a DC movie or Warner Brothers?
I mean, it's about one of their characters.
That doesn't count, though. Like, The Amazing Spider-Man's not, like, a Marvel movie.
That's true.
Joker did get decent enough reception. Like, it wasn't as awesome as people tried to say it was, I guess, but it was still fine.
But, remember, like, when it won an Oscars?
It did win an Oscar for what, acting?
Yeah, didn't it? Didn't
Joaquin Phoenix? Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix won. Which, I guess that's fine. It's you know, maybe a movie can be bad with good acting. Like, we can all admit that. And a movie can be good with bad acting sometimes. Suicide Squad has an Oscar too. I mean, let's not forget.
Yeah,
for costuming, right?
Yeah.
Costuming makeup or hair and makeup or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
A good, like, technical Oscar. But nothing like that reflects the quality of the movie. Like, it reflects the quality of the team, and they deserve that Oscar.
Yeah.
But yeah, so people want, it's going to come into HBO Max or something, because they needed something to get people to go to HBO Max. which, there are things that would get people there, like the new Looney Tunes cartoons are coming there. They've released samples of it. It looks good. That show that, I forget his name, the creator of regular show, J.G. Quintel. It's a show called Good Enough that was supposed to come to TBS like 8 years ago or something wild like Jesus. That. 4 or 5 years, and it just never came. And now it's coming to HBO Max. I'm like, yo, this is how you get people to do piracy. Like, this was a show that's supposed to come to cable, like, and now it's coming to this premium service. Like, what the heck? What happened?
Is HBO Max the new name for, like, HBO Now and HBO Go? Because they used to have, like, two separate apps.
I don't think it is. I think it's something else. Holy shit,
it's something else? So they now have a third subscription?
Yeah.
Okay, okay, sure. Sure,
it's complicated. I don't really know what HBO Go even was, necessarily.
I think it was just all, a
separate
it was,
app.
It was like, your Game of Thrones. It was, like, if you wanted to watch Game of Thrones but didn't want to subscribe to all of HBO.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it was used for. I didn't know what it actually was in practice. But, yeah, so it has that. Those are the things that are coming to it. So, like, on its own, if we weren't... If they were the first to do this after Netflix and Hulu, I'd say, hey, wow, good job capitalizing on this. Good job. But now it's like, bro, you already have people paying you for Game of Thrones that they don't want to pay you anymore. Maybe you should have, like... thought of this sooner,
but you guys, I mean, they had completely murdered.
Yeah, people did like those.
Yeah,
this is true. I'm gonna say, but like, you completely murdered all of the like good faith anyone had in you at all. After literally, no one fucking talks about Game of Thrones anymore. Like,
the thing is, you do know like that wasn't specifically HBO's fault. That was like the fault of the directors, like entirely.
Oh, that's... yeah, but, like, they're the ones who hired two men who had never directed sure. or showrunned a show before. Sure.
Yeah, it's just, like... it's one of those things where it's frustrating because HBO wanted it to go on for, like, 2 or 3 more seasons, and the director's like, no, we're tired of this. We're gonna go make a Star Wars. And then Star Wars was like, no, you're not.
Actually, no, they were like, we're gonna make a show about what if the Confederacy was still existed, and they were like, look around, you assholes.
It's kind of like, let's make a sports metaphor real fast, right? We get mad at so in football, you score 6 points for a touchdown and 1 or 2 for an extra point. Don't worry about the difference. But normally you get 1 point if you just kick the ball through the poles, right?
Yeah.
But you can do that at any time for 3 points and then give the ball to the other team as if you scored. And the difficulty of that shrinks depending on how close you are to the goal. Obviously, you don't want to kick that field goal from the other touchdown because it's incredibly difficult even with the best wind. So you normally want to do it when you can't score a touchdown and you don't want to give the ball to the other team because it'd be too hard to do. All right, so normally you would do this to get any points you can have, and people would be like, our kicker missed this easy shot and lost us the game. But honestly, if you had to rely on someone to make this last ditch effort play, you already lost the game, or you were already not doing as well as you should have been. And that's how I see HBO with Game of Thrones. Like, yeah, maybe it's those directors who missed that kick and blew it at the end, but you're the ones who hired them. Like, you caused this a long-ass time ago. Like, they shouldn't have been able to, like, fuck up Game of Thrones.
People have been complaining about certain parts of Game of Thrones for quite some time.
Since season 4.
Yeah, so, I guess we don't really have that much to say about the Snyder Cut other than, like, why are people complaining so much on the internet?
It's like you got what you wanted, and now you're mad that you're getting what you wanted, and people are mad that other people are getting what they wanted, and, like, I don't know, it's just, like, people are bothering Gail Simone about it, like, she has anything to do with it. Because she likes to troll people, and she was, like, trolling people, like, she was, like, trolling Snyder Cut people for a while.
Oh, okay,
because they tend to overlap with the kind of people that are...
troll her anyway.
Yeah, who are jackasses, like, Comicsgate people.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Gail Simone don't miss. So, if you are somebody who dislikes her, I understand why you'd want to capitalize on the time she did miss, but, like, get a fucking life and don't do that. Like, who gives a shit? I wouldn't be going after Gail Simone. Because, like, it's not going to pay off. Even if you got one over on her, do you think it's really going to pay off, like, in the end? Like, it's still going to be bad. And she's going to be like, oh, guess who got two shitty movies instead of one? Like,
I don't know. And she's, like, the chillest person about it because, like, she does love the DC characters and, like, she is typically loath to say anything too bad about certain, like, things. The one thing that she said, she loved Birds of Prey. The one thing she said about it was that, like, she wished that the Cassandra Cain character had just been named something else because she was so different from the way that Cassandra Cain is, like, her backstory is in the comics. Like, she thought actress played her well and like that it was a fun part of the she was a fun part of the story, but
yeah, it's called criticizing the story and not like the person.
Like, yeah, but like it's just like she's willing like she but like other than that like she's very like she loves these characters like she like she's like oh huh well I guess it's gonna Snyder cut, like we'll see how it goes. Like,
yeah, she's probably not even, like, upset about it, but people are like, but you said it wouldn't happen, so now I'm gonna get my win. Like, okay, cool, I'm glad you feel good about yourself for the day. Like, hope it lasts for you.
Yeah, like, sorry that this was the one thing that brought you joy today. It was dunking on a woman you've never met on the internet, like, which is a larger problem in our society, but...
Yeah, and I hope it makes you feel good, because I don't think she's going to lose any sleep about it either.
Certainly not.
She's like, well, I'm going to keep writing stories that affect things I like and hope you don't get too sad about that. Actually, I don't care. What does it say about, like, fandom and stuff? Like, I think it was interesting when, like, the Sonic redesign happened for that movie.
Yeah.
But people were like, oh, see, see, angry fans finally won one. I'm like, I don't think angry fans won. I think it was the fact that the entire fucking internet was like, yo, dog, this shit is trash.
This was bad. This was a bad art decision. Like,
and even when people weren't asking them to change it, they were just like, dog, this is bad, and we're going to laugh at it. Which was like, I mean, obviously, people were harassing and death threatening the studio. Never do that. That's garbage. But I think a lot of people were just like laughing at it online, not to anybody. They're like, yo, can you believe this?
Mess, like...
And execs were like, we're not going to make enough money if this happens. Like, we got to fix it. Like, that's going to cost so much more. We have to take the risk. And that's a little bit different than, like, the average person probably, if they didn't like Justice League, that was the end of it. Like, whatever, yeah, like, this movie sucks. Fuck it. Like,
yeah. Internet is full of people.
So, I mean, like, is this, like, a bad, to get, like, into a bigger picture, like, is this a bad precedent then? Like, is it going to cause problems going forward?
I mean, it might like encourage more fans to continue to like think that they're outraged
on
the internet.
They have the power to harass people online to get what they want.
To change things when really that's not how we should interact with media.
Yeah, it's not how we should interact with media or with their creators online.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's another online blow up about this recently, like in Twitter or YouTube drama, between like that HH3 guy and Keemstar, who's just like a shitty person, but H3 called Keemstar out for being, well, basically for being Keemstar. I don't think he like necessarily made up lies about him, but was alluding to like, I don't know why he still has his sponsors when he's done like maybe this racist thing or that other racist thing, which, you know, throwing stones from a glass
Twitter
house.
Continue to exist, unfortunately.
Yeah. Kind of throwing stones from a glass house, because there's pictures of that or videos of the Ethan guy saying like a string of slurs, and other people are like, bro, I'm edgy too, but like, you know, this is being recorded, right? Like, he's like, no, it's free speech, I'm not saying it to anybody, so what's the harm in it? Like, because it's being recorded, dog, and it's not good to say that stuff, whatever. But anyway, so like all the H3H3 fans and like people who just hate Keemstar and are also willing to do this, because a lot of people just hate Keemstar, are went and like told his sponsor from G Fuel, like, hey, you should drop this guy because XYZ, and they peppered in like real reasons but also maybe fake reasons. And some of the other channels talk about it's like, okay, so like what precedence does this cause that you can just talk to anybody's sponsor and try to get them canceled from it? And I'm like, guys, I hate to burst your bubble and to be this guy, but this isn't new. It's just the only difference is now they're doing it to like shitty people. Like, people already did this stuff to, like, Anita Sarkeesian, to, like, Kelly Marie Tran, pretty much to women and black people. They've always tried to, like, I mean, they did it to fucking, homeboy who made Guardians of the Galaxy, like, they said, no, he's legitimately a pedophile, which, he made some shitty jokes, but he had already apologized to them, but Disney's like, fuck, we better cancel this, and, you know, they fucked up, because they went back and said, actually, we're gonna still have him direct these movies, like, we need this to happen. So it's people have always been getting fucked over, but now it's people that we wanted to... Like, they're getting fucked over basically for being, like...
There's, like, Sleeping Giants on Twitter is, like, a whole campaign of people who work together to get Fox News sponsors to drop, like, to drop advertising on their shows, like...
Right.
And have been successful. There's a reason people threw their Keurigs out of their windows, like...
Yeah, so there's also this stuff, like, yeah, people always do this, but now it's starting to hit close to home for people, I think, might be the issue.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh shit, like, it was fine when it was SJWs, and it was, I guess it was even fine when it was Fox News, because they're probably full of shit too, but like, oh, now it's like, people like PewDiePie, like, oh, can this affect me? Like, I mean, it always could have, like, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of a... It's crazy how, like, maybe sometimes there are consequences to being a racist on the internet.
Yeah.
Well, people keep pulling up this thing, which I don't understand, is, like, one video I saw was, like, oh, people can start falsely doing it, saying, like, that people are racist when they may not have actually been, which, when you start getting, like, people like Keemstar's fans, I guess, they will go on false flag campaigns, like, oh, let's use Gail Simone, somebody who we all like, she's a racist because, like, one time a black character died, and, like, context will tell you, yeah, dog, a lot of people died. It wasn't like this was a racist thing. She's like, a character's plotline ended. She's not a racist. But people who either want to believe it or just want to join a hate mob will be like, yeah, yeah, she's a racist. And does that affect, like, her employment at Marvel? Like, that's unethical. Like, we all can say that that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if these people have, like, a legitimate claim or they just...
Hell, she was briefly fired from writing Batgirl back in the day.
For what?
Like, for some, I feel like it was for something like this, like, there was, like, a huge outcry, she was just, like, fired without, like, completely without notice.
That's crap.
And there was a huge outcry, and then she got hired back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like to preface that none of this should be taken as defending Keemstar, because that motherfucker gets people swatted, like, that,
oh,
like,
no.
He does, yeah, like, this... legitimately bad things, like.
Right, and even the videos I saw were like, yo, I'm not here to defend Keemstar, he's a piece of shit, I just don't want this practice to become, like, common, because then it's gonna start hitting people that don't deserve it, which, I believe that in theory, but I don't know about how, like, true it is in practice, because he said most people are like, ah, I don't agree with that, but it's fine, because fuck Keemstar, it's like, well, yeah, that's true.
But bro, so, be careful, because, like, if he hears this podcast, he might swat you. So
right. So it's like, well, that's where things get kind of weird. So I don't know. I'm not defending Keemstar, obviously. A lot of people got upset with him for basically, like, making money off of Etika's death, which is super shitty and didn't do anything to, like, help the cause. You know that guy. It's been, like, about over a year since he passed, which is very sad. I haven't seen the internet come together quite that much where most people are like, this just sucks, like, don't make fun of this, it's not funny, like, which, hey, cool internet, like, glad you finally took something seriously. It's still, like, enough. Yeah, it's still, like, I don't know, it still chokes me up to think about, and, you know, somebody gone too soon. But a lot of people were pointing that, like, you know, Keemstar, like, you were part of, like, not saying this is your fault, but you definitely, like, directed trauma at somebody who was going through a lot of shit, like, don't act like you dudes were friends, like, stop trying to profit off people's death, especially people that weren't, like, your homie, you know, like, we know who you are. So I think that's kind of why this all blew up, which is a depressing reason for this all to happen, but I don't know, just be better people on the internet, y'all, like.
I was gonna say, on that note, I would like to point out that at this very moment, Kyle Musk is trending on Business and Finance.
Do you know why? Yeah. It's because Elon Musk and Grimes put out a patch note for their baby.
Oh, good.
They updated their, they gave their baby version, you know, 1.5, and they updated its name.
Oh, yeah, I see it's X, and then there are two small eyes afterward.
Yeah.
Is that to make it actually fit the thing they said it was?
I did not read any justification for why it happened, I just saw that it happened.
Fair enough.
They
patched the baby, and that was it.
And that's it. All right. So on that note...
Yeah, do we have any other stuff about this Snyder Cut? I'm not excited for it. It's just going to be a thing that happens.
No, I'm not going to put myself through it.
Cool. I guess I'll mention some cool stuff about Overwatch. Their anniversary was this week, their event. lots of cool skins. Ash and Bob got a Little Red Riding Hood and Big Bad Wolf skin. I suggest go looking at it. It's beautiful. It's a good job. The league is taking a 2-week break. They did a big tournament. Very fun to watch. The production's getting better. They're finally paying attention to the Tier 2 scene over the next few weeks, which will be nice. I saw something that made me want to bring that up, and I forget what it was. So I was trying to stall. I don't remember why I brought this up. Oh, they did something that was nice. Part of their pictures, like the little sprays you can get. They did one for fasting and for feasting.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's around.
Ishmael posted that. Yeah.
He showed that. I'm like, I didn't know what that was, which is very cool that they added something. Yeah, it's like a nice thing. They just put it in there. If you get it, he said it means a lot. If you don't get it like me, it's like, oh, hey, these are just things that are here. I'm not offended. It doesn't impact my experience at all. Stop being racist and shitty and let people have representation. But yeah, so that was a nice part of that. That's why I wanted to bring it up, was because of that. And I've seen lots of people dancing in their, like, I guess, religious attire to celebrate this. And man, I'm going to say that whenever, like, Catholic and Christian families do stuff like this, it's so creepy and forced, but, like, these families are, like, crushing it. Like, this is nice to see. I like seeing people celebrating and being happy, so good stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we did another one, y'all.
We did.
That's right.
I talked a lot on this one, so I felt my apologies, y'all.
You know, like, sometimes it happens. You know, I talked a whole bunch about Vocaloid last week. This week, I didn't do a whole lot other than get ready for things that are happening this week, so...
Yeah, next week I will have so many things to talk about. I totally will.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I thought you guys had plans or something coming up.
I mean, I'm getting a cat. That's the exciting thing for me.
That's true. I don't know how much mileage we can get out of that, but everything in life is content, so we have to do it. So I hope your cat's awesome.
Real life for content.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question, Steph. I haven't been using my podcast app because I haven't been going around. I know it's going to update with like 100 episodes of stuff. So when you looked at this last episode, was it just the regular title card or was it something else?
It was, I think, just the regular title card.
Dang, okay.
Trying to get that. Good.
I'm asking that to any audience listeners. I tried to put a custom picture there this time. It was just the girl from Bleach spinning a leak because we talked about that.
Yeah,
it's a fun thing I've seen people do. So I wasn't sure how it popped up, but I was just curious what that looked like.
Yeah.
So I'll keep trying. Sure.
Yeah, keep trying. I want to see cool, fun pictures.
Yeah.
Puts a little bit more customization in it. Yeah. I've been zapping so long. I'm going to get destroyed. But yeah, it shows up for me. Okay, so cool. It worked, kind of, for some apps. Fine. I think that's everything.
Cool.
Right?
So, so shall I do the talking of the...
Sing us out.
...of the social medias?
Yeah.
So if you want to find us on the internet, you can do it. You bet.
I do bet.
You do bet. You can find us on Twitter at CharacterRev. It's character R-E-V, two R's in the middle. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can find us on Instagram at Character Reveal, where we often put clips of our episodes, so you can get a taste of what's coming before you listen to it. You can find us on the internet. If you go to characterreveal.simplecast.fm, and you can listen to us in the podcast browser of your choice by looking for Character Reveal. You'll see those blue curtains. Maybe you'll see this cool other thing Dom tried to do, but you probably see the blue curtains too. You can find me on the internet at Captain Steph, on Twitter at The Snowqueer, on Tumblr at Hella Steph, on Instagram. You can find Dom at Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found, and Eric at Tindy Losey on Twitter. And I think that's the biz.
It's true.
Cool.
So that's it. That's all.
I don't know what else to do.
Spoken the truth. The end. Goodbye.
It's the bye. Peace.